Hello, and welcome aboard this week's edition of your maritime program, Seascapes. We'll be hearing from recipients of awards at the Irish Sailing Association annual awards ball held in Dún Laoghaire last weekend. The ISA Sailing Achievement of the Year went to Olympian Annalise Murphy. The award was accepted by her mother, Cathy McAleavy. We begin with this young lady who was inspired by the aforementioned Annalise. Claire Lambert is from Dublin, but training youngsters at Lochdurg Yacht Club. She won ISA Instructor of the Year.
I think that the seas, like, there's so much more. There's not as many lakes, so I suppose that could be part of it. My dad windsurfed all around Ireland, and so he kind of brought us to Lochdurg for the like family atmosphere and stuff. So yeah, the atmosphere there is just brilliant. It's so like it's an honour for us to get the mirrors and everything. So I'll be down there helping out. So it's good year for Lochdurg.
So tell us about this award tonight and what it means, not alone to you, but also to the club.
I'm kind of shocked I actually didn't get it, but I'm so chuffed. Like, it was my first year sailing, instructing in July, and I absolutely loved it. I was working with 6 to 12 year olds, and I had one of my students come up to me in the airport, like, yelling, "Claire, Claire, like, how are you?" So it's really good for the club to get recognised, and, like our, like, instructors are really good, and, like, it's just an honour for us, for really. I want to do well for my club and, like, support my club, and I'm so proud to be from Lochdurg because they have so many, like, amazing instructors, and just the recognition is really good for the club and just boosting, like, the atmosphere, everything about the club. So for, you know, your tides for on the seas and stuff, but for the lakes, you could have it choppy, the winds could be from Clare, like, you just haven't got a clue. Really, it is challenging, like, your chop, you haven't got a clue what could come out, and definitely it just shows the people who are coming from all over, from Dublin, from Galway, just to come to Lochdurg because it is such a good club. I had some Pico sailors and some Oppie sailors this year, and I also took a couple of trips out in we have a Tyrian, and then also Mears, because the Mears is a double crafted boat, so it's really good for the students to get to use the jib and stuff. So it's good, there's good seating in it for the little ones. So yeah, the kids should learn how to work together from a really young age. So that's why I get them out helping with the main sheet and everything, so they definitely build up teamwork, and there's a little bit of competition between them even at 6, you know. So
if you had a favourite memory from last year, was it watching Annalise in Weymouth, was it watching Damien Foxall come into Galway in the Volvo? Is there a particular memory that stands out for you, or was it actually on Lochdurg?
Definitely seeing Annalise. I heard she got her fourth gold, or her first, like, fourth, and I was bawling my eyes out in my sitting room. I yelled to Mom. I was like, "Mom, Annalise got her gold. Her got her her first place, or, like, in the races and stuff." And I was just definitely bawling my eyes out. But I think it's definitely down in Durg. I had a couple of youngsters. They were just sailing with me, and definitely just the smiles on their faces just has to be worth it all, and it just makes everything better. Like, so the challenges are just compensated for, like, the smiles and the giggles from the kids, definitely.
Claire Lambert, ISA Instructor of the Year, which was supported by Parasol Suncare. You can read about all the other nominees and categories on the ISA website and on the Seascapes webpage, www.rte.ie/radio1/seascapes. One young man who enjoys wearing a tuxedo is a young sailor from the National Yacht Club who won gold in the under-17 European Laser Radial Youth Championships and silver at last summer's four-star pizza ISAF Youth Worlds. He is Finn Lynch.
Yeah, it's become a bit of a... It's becoming the norm now. Plus, yeah, it was a really good year, and it's just very good to... This is like the icing on the cake now, getting the Youth Sailor of the Year award. But yeah, it was a good year. I was happy. It wasn't just last year. It was the years, all the years leading up, and sailing every weekend, lots of time in the gym. And I suppose last year, in fourth year, I had a lot of time to hit it really hard. And I took a month off school in around March, and just it was non-stop last year, and I think because of all the training that I did, it really showed in my results, improved loads that year. Yeah, well, it's a one design, that means that you can't change anything on it, so it's just down to the sailor. So that's where the training really comes in, and I guess I'm now training for the ISAFs again, well, for the qualifications for the ISAFs, and then when it comes to the end of this summer, I'm going to go into a full rig and hopefully campaign for the Olympics in Rio. So that's the next ambition.
What about school? Does that get a look in? Where does that figure in the background?
Well, if you manage your time, I think there's always time for both. But next year will be a bit more time on school because I'm in sixth year. But then once I get into, I think I might take a year out of college just to try. I may as well give it my best and see if I can get the Olympics. And you can always come back to the college. So that's the plan.
So there's a great focus, isn't there, in the fact that you can have the ability to do that, which is to basically step back from the academic world and pursue something that you've put a lot of time into.
Yeah, I think, and an example of that is Annelies. She took a few years out of college, and you could see that her non-stop sailing was really helped her in getting really good results this summer, and that's what I'd like to do. My coach, Milan Vujasinovic, is a big, very successful sailor in Croatia. And ever since he's become my coach, I think he's influenced me a lot. So I'd say he would be my idol. These days, I'd be 5 or 6 days either on the bike, running, or in the gym. And then we try to get at least 12 days on the water a month. And obviously in the summer, then we go flat out when there's no school. But yeah, it's pretty non-stop these days.
Finn Lynch, ISA Youth Sailor of the Year, the category supported by Dunlera Harbour Company. Next here on Seascapes to ISA Training Centre of the Year, supported by Honda Marine, we spoke to Oliver Hart of the Oyster Haven Centre.
It's a wonderful celebration of sailing in Ireland at this event, and particularly on the training side of it, the whole level of participation and the number of youngsters who are getting out sailing at the moment. We have to stimulate and incentivize the youngsters getting out on the water. One of the things we did several years ago was to, because we're situated between two of the best yacht clubs in the country. I mean, there are a lot of very fine yacht clubs, but we're between the RCYC and Kinsale Yacht Club, very, very fine yacht clubs. And they run sailing courses in a particular way, and there's a very strong emphasis within sailing clubs on racing. And we had to look, well, how are we going to make Oyster Haven different to the sailing clubs? And we had to differentiate our product to make ourselves special and different. And so we teach very much through experience and through fun and through the children really just enjoying the whole experience of sailing without having to be in a particularly competitive environment. It's a sport that you can continue to enjoy in very many different formats. So particularly the emphasis that we have is that once youngsters have learned to sail, and one of the things we specialize in on Oyster Haven is in after the youngsters have gone through the various different levels and they become proficient sailors, then they learn to become instructors, they turn around, they start teaching youngsters, they get a great thrill, great personal development out of teaching people and learning to instruct. And then after that, the challenge that we have for them is to join us on our 70-foot schooner, the Spirit of Oyster Haven, so they go on to learn sailing skills, ocean sailing skills, cruising skills, and the whole opportunity to explore Ireland's coastline. So that's what learning to sail really does for people. So they don't have to be necessarily focused on racing. There's a whole world out there of cruising and really enjoying the whole environment through the medium of sailing. We set out, as I was explaining earlier, to differentiate our product. 2 years ago, we reviewed all of our products and we said, what can we do to improve what we do? And basically, we decided that the important thing to do was to try to become the best centre in the country. And that's really what we've set out to do. And today is really recognition that we have achieved that. And it's a great honour to have received the award for that.
Next to the ISA Mitsubishi Motors Club of the Year, with the award going to the Royal St. George Yacht Club. We talked to the Commodore of the club, Martin Byrne.
Oh, without doubt, yeah, we're absolutely delighted. And in this, which is the beginning of our 175th anniversary year, really on behalf of all of the members in the club, I'm delighted to accept the award and indeed very, very honoured. Certainly 2012 was an enormous year, and certainly the year was dominated by the ISAF Youth Worlds. But nevertheless, I mean, it was still business as usual for the Royal St. George throughout the year. I'm pretty sure we organised and ran about four different national championships, and all of the other programmes from access and disabled sailing to junior and adult training, one design training and racing and everything else in between continued as normal in the club. But without a doubt, our focus during the summer was on the ISAF Youth World Championships, and in company with our partner clubs, the National Yacht Club and the Royal Irish Yacht Club, we definitely feel that we pulled it off. We would like to see ourselves as partners with the Dunleary Harbour Company and the management team that look after the harbour. Without doubt, the four yacht clubs in Dunleary are the biggest user group in the facility, and indeed we're also the biggest employers. So we would like to feel that we do have a say in what goes on in the harbour. And certainly the move towards removing swinging moorings is something that historically would be something that would concern us. Practically, it's something that is of issue, and I think even aesthetically, for the thousands and thousands of general public who use the harbour on a daily basis, I think the removal of the boats from the swinging moorings would be something that is probably not a great move. The summer season begins shortly, and the boats will be going back in the water, and we certainly hope that the majority of them will be on the swinging moorings as well as in the marina. But more importantly, it's right back into business as usual with regard to the events, and just thousands of people enjoying the pastime of sailing as well as the sport of sailing. I think everybody here looks forward to the evening from the perspective that they're meeting old friends. They're coming together from all parts of the country, renewing acquaintances and relationships, and just enjoying a good night out, and in particular celebrating with the winners of the awards. But it's not all about that. It's absolutely really about friendships and fun in the sport of sailing.
Martin Byrne, Commodore of the Royal St. George Yacht Club. We hear next from Gavin Flood, Marketing Manager of Mitsubishi Motors Ireland, on their support of sailing and their presence at this year's awards ball.
As a company, you know, it's about being able to, you know, support what are great institutions around the country. And as a brand, you know, we have an affinity with the sport of sailing. You see our vehicles towing boats the length and breadth of the country, vehicles like L200, Pajero, they're intrinsically associated with the sport. So with that link there, you know, the awards give us a great platform to be able to come back each year and get behind the clubs. And I suppose the fact that we're doing it 25 years is testament to that. It's a natural fit for us as a brand. And, you know, beyond that, we love the sport of sailing. As a company, you know, we've been associated with it, not just in terms of the Club of the Year, but we're sponsors of the Youth Regatta each year that happens in Dunleary. So, again, it's seeing sailing in all its forms, from, you know, the youth coming up and getting a start in sailing and being able to support them in developing a passion for the sport, which is fostered through the club, right up to their ongoing involvement, and ultimately to the awards of Club of the Year, whereby it's recognising the totality of the involvement of people in clubs. So, you know, we're filling the full spectrum in terms of our support like that, and we're more than happy to be able to do it. Even in these hard times, it's something that we always try to do to the best of our ability. While we're here this evening and we're promoting the brand, you know, it is ultimately about the clubs tonight, about the people behind the clubs, their involvement in the sport. You mentioned, yes, that the youths last year was a huge success, and, you know, Frank Keane himself, he has a real passion for the sport at all levels, and, you know, I think something that gives him huge joy is to being able to see kids as young as 6, 7, 8, 9 getting on the water, enjoying it, And, you know, just being able to support that and recognise that in an altruistic way is just a really nice thing to do, and we love to do that.
What about yourself? This is not a trick question. Do you sail at all?
I don't. I think I'm probably the equivalent of the armchair sailor in so far as I've never taken to the water, but I know a lot about it. So unless going to Holyhead on the ferry qualifies now, no, I'm not much of a water bird, I have to say. I can hold my own in conversation around the sport of sailing.
A Seascapes listener has been in touch to say that close friends of the late Vincent Wiles, the young West Kerry man who lost his life in a fishing accident last month, have set up a trust fund for his family. Mr. Wiles, 24, from Ahasla near Castle Gregory, was killed on Valentine's Day while working on board a Dunmore East-based fishing vessel off the Cork coast near Kinsale. Following his death, a number of friends have come together to set up the Vincent Wiles Memorial Trust on behalf of his dependents and encouraging friends and those who knew him to lend their support. An account has been set up at Permanent TSB in Tralee for those willing to make a donation. The details are for the Vincent Wiles Memorial Trust. The account number is 214-62170 and the sort code is 990711. All this information will be on the Seascapes webpage. On Seascapes a few weeks ago, we talked to the president of the Disabled Sailing Federation. Well, this year his home club of Kinsale hosts the Disabled Sailing World Championships. He's a distinguished Paralympian and on Saturday night last was recognised by the ISA with their President's Award, presented by Niamh McCutcheon and the Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Eamon Gilmore. He is John Toomey.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Firstly, it was a great night tonight and, you know, it's been a great 2012 for our sailing and we're hoping to build on it. And as you said, we have the Disabled Worlds in Kinsale for the three Paralympic classes. You'll have all the guys that were in Weymouth and you'll have a lot more as well. You'll have, you know, triple the number of boats. You'll have people, we have already got entries from Russia, Latvia, Canada, America, Brazil, Argentina, Australia. We have entries from all over the world. Kinsale has proven to be very popular. And I suppose, you know, the fact that, you know, it's my home club and I've been sailing around the world with the lads for years, it's a great incentive to come to Ireland as well, because if they don't, they'll get abused afterwards, you know. I'm not used to wearing bow ties, but I like to make the effort on a night like tonight, so that's why the nautical flags are on the bow tie tonight. And, you know, as I say, you know, hopefully we'll have some great sailing in Ireland again this year. You know, there's a lot of events coming up. Even in Kinsale, we have the Sovereign's Cup. You have the Icarus in Phoenix. You have the Disabled Worlds back in Kinsale again, and you know, there's the J24 Worlds, you know, so there's, you know, it's great. Irish sailing is really coming on the map, and, you know, there's a lot more people sailing now, and hopefully, you know, that number will keep increasing because we got the best facilities in the world. They're underutilized, and the more people we get sailing, the better. It's great, you know, to have two major worlds, you know, and let's hope in a few years' time we capture the other one as well, the ISAF Worlds, and wouldn't it be great to say that in the century, that the very beginning of it, that we've all three worlds in Ireland within a short period of time. So I'm putting the gauntlet down to the ISA to go and get the ISAF Worlds as well in due course, because, you know, we got all the facilities, we got all the capabilities, we got really competent people here in sailing in Ireland, and there's no reason why we couldn't have them. I think it's a great sport for disabled people, you know, and this morning I was in Athlone and they have a project going down there with the Lions Club and stepping out from the probation services, you know, and they're building a boat in Athlone to be used in Lough Ree for disabled sailing, and it's going to kickstart disabled sailing in Lough Ree. It's going in Lough Derg. Why not in Lough Ree? And, you know, the initiative down there is going to see that happening as well this year. It's a busy year, but it's going to be an enjoyable year, you know. You know, I love my sailing. You know, I love, you know, the involvement of getting more and more people on the water, especially people with a disability, and, you know, it's going to be a good year.
Finally, to the ISA Volunteer of the Year, supported by A Stitch in Time, Seascapes talked to the remarkable Owen Lavelle, who has over 60 years' service with Scouting Ireland and has mentored over 6,000 scouts since 1966.
If we didn't have the I suppose, the tradition of volunteerism, etc., we wouldn't be as successful as we are in scouting. The pity is that it hasn't been more widespread. There are a lot of difficulties with sea scouting from the point of view of getting equipment and that sort of thing. Sea scouting is more expensive to run than land scouting is, because you have to get boats and oars and all that sort of stuff, as well as your camping gear, because we still do ordinary camping and hiking like the other scouts do.
What got you involved in it in the first place?
At the time, I was living in a town in England. My parents were there. They went over there after they were married here. And when the war came, we were sent back to school in Ireland. Went back again home and started to learn how to sail on this little river. A year or so later, another young boy from Cork, who had been also caught up in the war, because his parents had gone not to England but to the Channel Islands, so he was under German occupation, and he had been in the scouts illegally because the Germans wouldn't allow them there. And eventually he came back to Ireland and came to the school that I was at, and he, one day I saw him reading a little magazine called The Scout. It was interesting, so he lent it on to me. I read it and I thought, this sounds very good. So when I went back to home in England for school summer holiday, winter holidays, I went, found there was a scout troop there. But to my horror, there were sea scouts. I wanted to be a scout with a cowboy hat and a khaki shirt, you see, and I didn't want to wear a itchy navy blue pullover. So I told the scout master I wanted to be a land scout. He said, "That's all right, you'll be one." So I went off and got a khaki shirt and a scout hat. And next time I went down, all the fellas around started calling me Beltent. So eventually, after a while, I realised they started to go out in boats. I thought, this is not bad. So I went to the scoutmaster again when I come back from boarding school in Ireland at Christmas. I said, "Skipper, I think I'd like to be a sea scout." "I knew you would. And I've been since." That's how it happened. When you go to places like Arklow and the towns around the coast, there's plenty of interest in the maritime. But you go comparatively short distances in from the coast and people don't seem to know the sea around us at all, I think. Should we say the less expensive forms of sailing came to the fore as well at that stage. I'm not making any derogatory remarks now about clubs in Dunleary. The point is that an awful lot of, in those days, young people, if they weren't, say, in the Sea Scouts, would not necessarily be in sailing clubs and had no chance of getting out. So we were the only people who brought young people out to learn seamanship, be it rowing, sailing or canoeing. The Coal Harbour has always been a hive of activity for long before the DMYC was there or we started the Sea Scouts there. But the Coal Harbour was sort of a local club within the Coal Harbour, and that's where the DMYC grew from. And it was the starting point, sort of like almost a vox populi that came together by popular consent and grew without any other background social background. I've been very, very lucky over the past few years, or the past number of years, that I've managed to get to all sorts of places. Well, sailed around Ireland a couple of times, up the Western Isles of Scotland, gone south coast of England and Wales, gone to North France, Brittany, and the east coast of England.
Owen Lavelle of Scouting Ireland, an extraordinary man, and next month we'll be taking a detailed look at Sea Scouts in Ireland. Anyone who had the pleasure of reading Ireland from the Sea and Turning Tides, A Voyage Around the Irish Sea will be saddened to hear the news of the recent passing of their author, Andrew Phelan. Andrew Phelan was a lifelong yachtsman and, in the words of Dr. John de Courcy Ireland, a true seafarer. He navigated for most of his sailing life with just chart, compass and pencil, allowing GPS to become one of the few concessions to the electronic age. Andrew completed many ocean passages, and one particularly interesting one being at sea in the Bay of Biscay during the great storm of 1987 in October of that year. Andrew, a native of Clonmel, County Tipperary, skippered his first sailboat on the river shore at the age of 10. He continued to sail his 32-foot sloop, Sarakiniko, until last summer, just short of his 90th birthday. Andrew was educated at Clongowes-Wood College, National University of Ireland, and was then awarded a postgraduate scholarship to Cambridge. He wrote and broadcast extensively on sailing and Irish history, and first published in 1970 The Law for Small Boats. He was a trustee and member of the Royal Cruising Club, but his most coveted pastime was bringing his grandchildren on the local dinghy on the river at the end of his garden in Chiswick, before he gave them their promotion, when seaworthy, to crew aboard the Sarakiniko, a 32-foot westerly fulmar. Andrew Phelan will be fondly remembered and missed by his many crewing companions over the years, but none more so than his wife Joan, an accomplished yachtswoman in her own right. Sarakiniko will continue to sail in West Scotland and the Western Hebrides, with his daughter Patricia and her husband Angus Glennie taking the helm. His funeral service takes place next Tuesday, the 12th of March, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Bolton Road, in Chiswick, at noon. Next Friday night on Seascapes, we'll have details of a forthcoming lecture on the Napoli, scheduled for next month in the Maritime Museum. We'll be talking to marine biologist Mark Jessop about our magnificent puffins, and Gerald Butler, author of The Lightkeeper, on his days with Irish lights. All that and much more. Till next Friday night, here on Seascapes, tight lines and fair sailing.